Thanks very much for coming on with me this morning. I understand that that some of you've got tight schedules, so I think what I'll do is I'll try to get to it as quickly as I can. I have a prepared statement here. Instead of reading it, I'll just kind of try to give you the highlights of where I think we are. I think, number one, there are some things coming together right now that should be disturbing to everyone. First of all, let's start out with just the folks back home in the state of Ohio and, for that matter, around the country, standard of living is changing because of the fact of high gasoline prices. They've been experiencing increases in their natural gas costs. For example, back in 2001, we paid $3 an MCF in Cleveland, and today it's up about 11, and by the end of this year it could be 15. So it's pushing people. Cost of food has gone up. So I was at Perkins Pancake after church on Sunday, and the guy said, I'm hoping to make payroll. So we got some real problems that are out there in the country, and a lot of it's got to do with our energy costs. In addition to that, I think all of you probably saw that the OMB announced that that the deficit this year was going to be $480 billion. And, of course, they didn't include the $200 billion that we're borrowing from the trust funds, so we're talking about $680 billion. And now they're talking about fixing the alternative minimum tax, which is another $60 billion. So the deficit this year will be about $750 billion, and our national debt at the end of this year will probably be $10 trillion. Now, what's this got to do with oil? Well, first of all, we're sending $600 billion overseas to a lot of people who don't like us, including Venezuela. In effect, these people control the price of something that's essential to our economy. Let's analogize it to a business. I have a business, and the primary feedstock of the business is oil. And so the person providing me the oil has got real control over my cost situation. At the same time, the people that control that also have loaned me money. So now they control my business in terms of debt. And what's happened is that since 2001, we have seen 70% of our debt picked up by China, Japan, and the OPEC nations. So from a national security point of view, folks, we are in real jeopardy. 2 years ago, I went to the National Defense College and walked out of there. They played war games and basically came back. And I left there with this impression, and that was that we're really on thin ice in terms of our national security. In addition to that, we had a hearing about a year or so ago, and it was done by the Stanford University's Energy Modeling Forum, and they were before the Foreign Relations Committee, and they said the odds of a foreign oil disruption happening over the next 10 years are slightly higher than 80%. If global production were reduced by nearly 2.1%, that would have a serious effect on oil prices and economy that more than Hurricanes Katrina and Rita and even 9/11. So we have a major problem here, and what I've been trying to do in the last 10 years is get us to harmonize our environment, our energy, our economy, and now it's our national security. And what we need to do is we need to come up with, number one, what John F. Kennedy did. He recognized the fact that we were vulnerable, and what he did is he put the Apollo program in place. And when he did it, the American people were a little bit skeptical. He said, we're going to put a man on the moon in 10 years. Well, Neil Armstrong from Ohio ended up on the moon. There is no reason why this country cannot become the least reliant on foreign sources of energy. I call it the second Declaration of Independence than any other country in the world. In addition to that, and I'm talking about plug-ins, the bill that we Republicans have got in, there's four provisions of it. One of them is to put a lot of money into the best technology for batteries and also to construct battery factories here in the United States. But we can do this. And second of all, what we need to do is to take advantage of the resources that we have currently before us. And you all have, and if you don't have, I'll send you to my last speech on the floor in terms of what we should be doing and also a comprehensive plan that we're putting together that will deal with this entire area. In other words, it just can't be a little here, a little there. But the fact is that we have an emergency. Some of you have heard me say this. In fact, it was funny when Boone Pickens was testifying before our committee, and somebody asked him what the Saudis were telling him, and Boone says, "The Saudis told me, why don't you guys go get after your own oil?" And we're going to King Abdullah and saying, we want your oil, we want more oil. And King Abdullah said basically, look, you have your outer continental shelf, you've got Anwar, you have the shale oil out in the western part of the United States. We have 800 billion barrels of oil and shale oil out in the West today, and we're unable to even pass regulations to go after it. That's three times the amount of oil that Saudi Arabia has. We have 240 years of coal. The fact is, in my opinion, that if this country really made up its mind and let the world know we're going after all the stuff that we can go after, and we have more resources than the rest of the world in 10 years, instead of being at the bottom of the barrel, we could be at the top of the barrel. In other words, we'd have all the oil that we need right here in the United States of America, and second of all, we would be one of the least reliant on oil in terms of driving our transportation economy. And then we'd be really strong. But the world's changing. We won the Cold War, okay? And now the Russians are coming back, and you know what? They're doing it through energy. They're talking about entering a cartel with Venezuela on natural gas. And if we don't wake up and do what we ought to do for the American people and have this comprehensive plan in place, then shame on us. Shame on us. Questions?
Senator, how do you respond to some of your colleagues who say that drilling off the continental shelf and going after whatever we can here in the U.S. won't make that much difference?
I think that's a smokescreen. The fact of the matter is that if the rest of the world, and most of the experts agree with me, knew that we had a genuine policy to go after all that's available to us in an environmental way of in terms of getting it consistent with the environment, that and also announced that we were going to have an Apollo type of project in here and spend the money on it, it was sent a real ripple throughout the world about the fact that we're sincere, and as a result of that, some of the speculation that's going on, some of these funds that are buying oil futures that are trying to hedge against the American dollar going down in value, we'd see a change in terms of the cost of oil immediately here in the United States. But nobody believes that we've got the guts to go forward and do what we need to do, and I think that that's confirmed when Nancy Pelosi announces there will be no vote in terms of whether or not there ought to be removing the moratorium on offshore and the eastern part of the Gulf of Mexico and also out in the western part of the United States in terms of shale oil. And in addition to that, anybody that's watching what's happening in the Senate has got to understand they're saying the Senate won't even. In fact, this is going to be the first time in I don't know how many years we're not going to pass one appropriation bill before we go home in August, only because the Democrats are afraid that we're going to put an amendment on one of the appropriations bill that would cause them to have to vote on the issue of lifting the moratoriums. And so if I'm out there looking at the United States today, I'm going to say these people are in lockjaw. They're not going to take advantage of what they've got, and we still got them where we want them.
Senator, just a quick follow-up. What can the American people do to move Congress into some kind of an action?
I just think that they need to contact their legislators and contact particularly their members of the Senate, and just say that, look, we have our representatives have a right to represent their respective constituencies, whether they're for this or opposed to it, but at least to have the debate on this issue, just as we did back in 2005 on the Energy Policy Act. I think we were at it for about 10 days. I think there must have been about 24, 25 amendments that we passed. 50 amendments, as I've been corrected. And so we debated it. And we did the same thing with the Energy Act that we passed in 2007. What is wrong with having a debate here in the United States of America? Now, some people are saying, well, these are special areas. And I think the Washington Post pointed out in a recent editorial saying, get at it, debate the thing. They're saying, you know, it sounds crazy to us. People are saying, well, you can't go after oil in certain parts of the United States because you've got an environmental problem. And yet we're getting oil from God only knows where and what they're doing to the environment. And I would argue that probably, you know, just let's look what happened after Katrina. 4,000 rigs out in the Gulf of Mexico. Most of us thought, my God, you know, we're going to see oil spilling out all over the place. And the fact of the matter is it was relatively nothing. And so we've got to get realistic about this, and the American people, I think, are frustrated, and I think they've got to understand it's more than just oil today, it's our national security.
Senator Voinovich Lurie-Wright, nice to talk to you again, sir. And two-part question, if you don't mind. Aren't we already seeing the effects of even just talking about lifting this ban? I mean, the president talked about the ban being lifted. Aren't we already seeing that in the effects of prices coming down at the pump? I mean, I realize there's a process that goes from the time it's extracted from the ground to you and I put it in our vehicles, but the fact that we're even talking about it, aren't we seeing that? And the second part of my question, sir, is what about drilling in Lake Erie?
I think that the issue in terms of drilling in Lake Erie is one that I've gone over over and over and over again. And when you look at the relative cost benefits that you would get, it's infinitesimal.
And what about the speculation? Are we not seeing that? Even the fact that the president that we're even talking about it, are we not seeing the price come down already?
You know, Larry, I wish I could tell you that I knew that. I don't. I think there's a lot of speculation out there that says because we're starting to talk about this issue and the president has lifted the moratorium that we're seeing a slight decrease in the cost of oil. But I would tell you this, that from most people that I talk to that are really experts in the area, their attitude is that if we did what I just suggested, this Apollo program and going after what's available to us, that would really make a big difference in terms of what people think around the world in terms of those that provide the resources.
But Senator Voinovich, you can read the polls as many as anybody else. The majority of the people in this country are for exactly what you are proposing and other members of Congress, Democrat and Republican alike. Don't you think this matter, not to inject politics in it, but politics is already involved, may come back to bite the Democrats come November?
You know something? The greatest thing that could happen, as far as I'm concerned, and we have five good Republicans and five good Democrats working on a bipartisan bill. And as I've said, I'll be introducing a comprehensive bill, but if I get a chance, one of the amendments that I'm going to put in would be that in consideration of our lifting the moratorium, that we would take the amount of the lease money and put that into a special fund that would provide a permanent fund to do this Apollo-type project that I'm talking about. Because right now, you've got the Department of Energy involved in many of these things, but the fact is there's no commitment in terms of long-term funding that we need to, you know, somebody comes up with an idea, it may be 2 or 3 years before they can really get it to the point where it's going to really start to make a difference for us. For example, let's just take battery technology. And so we need to have, this is a twofer. In other words, we guarantee that we're just, no, there's some people, well, the answer to this is just not more oil. No, the answer to this is more oil, and it's also our efforts to reduce our demand for it. And by the way, American people are doing a better job today. We are lessening our demand for it. We're driving differently. We're doing more. More people are taking a mass transit and so forth. So it's really like three things: conservation, more oil, and less demand.
Senator Voinovich, would you be in favor of tapping into the strategic petroleum reserves at least for some temporary relief on gas prices?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm worried. If this Chavez down in Venezuela decided to do something crazy, God only knows where we would be. The other thing is that the American people are not aware of the fact that 80% of the global oil trade routes flow through unstable countries like Iran and 40% of the world's oil travels through the Straits of Hormuz. Now, if somebody decided, for example, Iran, to flex its muscle to try and let us know and everybody else know that if you guys get tough with us, we're going to shut down the supply of oil, and they could do that, then where would we be? So my attitude is, for a slight reduction in the cost of oil in this country, I don't want to take the risk of being at someone's at mercy if they decide to do something like that.
We've heard even this morning on the talk shows where the Democrats are suggesting why aren't...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Sorry, Senator. We're hearing even on the morning talk shows this morning, the Democrats are claiming why aren't existing leases being explored? Hasn't that been pretty much proven that the existing leases have either dried up or just aren't that productive?
You know, I hope everybody heard it. It's something about why the Democrats are saying, why don't you go after the existing leases that are out there? I had a hearing, what was it, 3 weeks ago? Yeah, 3 weeks ago was it last, I think last Friday. And we had in experts, including Shell Oil and some other folks, and they're basically saying, you know, they're paying big money for these leases. And what they're trying to do is to go out there and the area where these leases are doesn't necessarily mean that the whole area covered is going to be productive. And so they're out there hustling. About 30% of these leases is going to result in any kind of real oil. The other thing that the guys from Shell pointed out is that we have an area in up in Alaska. What do we call it? It's called the Naval Reserve up there. In other words, we're allowing people to go in there and drill. In other words, no question about it. But the environmental groups have filed lawsuits, and it's been 2 years. So there's areas where we could be getting oil, but where the environmental groups have filed lawsuits, and we're not able to go in there because of these lawsuits that have been filed. So I think that argument that, oh, it's still out there, go after it, is spurious.
Senator Voinovich, Larry Wright again. I just thought of something I wanted to ask you to get your viewpoints on, please. When we talk about drilling for U.S. oil, is it an oversimplification to say that every ounce of oil that we drill here means we're less dependent on foreign oil from there, and that also impacts positively on our trade balance too, doesn't it?
There's no question about it because, you know, let's say, for example, I voted for Anwar 10 times, okay? And I don't see any problem with Anwar. They've been in Prudhoe Bay. I mean, the technology that's available today is fantastic. But if we had, if President Clinton had not vetoed the Anwar situation back in 95, today we'd have another million barrels of oil, roughly. Could be more, a little bit less. But a million barrels of oil constitutes about 20% of what we're producing. We have gone from back in 73, where the U.S. was producing something like 10.5 million barrels a day, today it's down to 5 million barrels a day. Let's also talk about ethanol, because it's been kicked around a lot. If we had not stimulated the use of ethanol in this country, we would be having to get another million barrels a day from somebody else. And so, in effect, this does impact on what we have to buy. And believe me, you know, $600 billion to buy oil is one heck of a lot of money. We spend every year, well, last defense budget, $683 billion on our defense budget. And during that same period, we're spending $600 billion and sending it overseas to people that I've said in many instances are not our friends. And by the way, they're going to end up taking that money, and when the $700 billion hits the place, when the Treasury wants to get this money to borrow, it'll be interesting to see who buys the debt. Who buys the debt?
Senator, a follow-up question. This is Jerry Ricciuti from WKBN in Youngstown. You were saying Nancy Pelosi has pretty much said, we're not going to have a vote. What can the public do to get them off their hands?
Well, we're all going home, you know, for a while. And I'm hoping that all hell breaks loose in some of those districts. And folks come to them and say, look, you know, you've had your position on this thing, but you know something? What you've never told us is how much our national security is in danger, and you never talk to us about these fine ideas about not doing this and doing that is doing to the cost of the cost of gasoline for my family. I mean, one of the things that's happened in this country that bothers me is that we have not harmonized our energy and our economy and our environment and our national security. That's been the biggest problem. Several years ago, I had Tom Mullen from the Catholic Charities down here to testify before our Environment and Public Works Committee, and he just said when you're considering environmental policies, some consideration should be given to the impact that it's going to have on you know, the poor and the elderly, the retirees, because this is you know, getting more and more and more. And we got the LIHEAP program today they're talking about doubling, going from $2.5 billion to $5 billion a year for LIHEAP. Well, why is that? I'll tell you why. It's because we encouraged the electric companies to go ahead and use natural gas. They said it's a more environmentally friendly way of generating electricity. At the same time we did that, we cut back on the supply. We made it difficult. By the way, when we open up the outer continental shelf and the eastern part of the Gulf of Mexico, we're going to get a lot of natural gas. And I want everybody that's listening right now to know natural gas prices are going up between now and the end of the year. And we're going to feel it again. But again, some of the people that have looked at environmental policy around here, they don't pay attention to that. It's like, honest to God, I think they think everybody's rich. I'd like to know who some of these people are.
Senator Steve Koff here. I'd like to ask you a question related to that. ExxonMobil just reported record earnings. I think it's about 12 or just shy of $12 billion, which is again, a record. And that includes record crude oil and natural gas realizations. I mean, what do you say about that? Obama's clearly attacking that today.
Well, I think that the fact of the matter is that the that's something that we should be concerned about. But if you talk to the people that are in the industry, and you talk about other people that are out there, so much of that problem, I don't know what the percentage of their profits is used to go out and drill for more oil. In other words, they're making money, but they're taking it and turn it right around and putting it into exploration.
Any other questions?
Senator, you touched briefly on ethanol. I'm just wondering, you know, here in Northwest Ohio, there's lots going on with wind and solar and those sorts of things. I'm just wondering what place those other forms of alternative energy have in this plan.
There's two parts of this, actually. There's three parts of this energy thing. There's the issue of oil and a source of energy for our transportation. The other part of this deals with climate change and how are we going to do a better job with climate change. And the third part of this is to deal with producing electricity in this country. And just as we need to have a full court press in dealing with alternative sources of oil in this country, we need to also put that same kind of commitment to the issue of wind, solar, nuclear, clean coal technology, natural gas. We have a firm in eastern Ohio, Baird, that's got an application before the Department of Energy to put in a coal to liquid facility, very much like they have today in Africa. In Africa, that's where that's how they get their oil. They take coal and they convert it into liquid. And it's also interesting that the Los Alamos labs out in New Mexico have come back to the Department of Energy and said Baird has come up with some great technology to capture carbon and to sequester it. So we need to do all of that. But I think that it's important for everyone to understand that at this stage of the game, renewables make up about 8 or 9% of what generates electricity here in the United States. And of that, most of it's hydroelectric. So wind and solar is very, very small. And I think there's a tendency out there to think that, and some people are actually promoting, well, Albert Gore recently said, no more, you know, 10 years, we're not going to use any fossil fuels. Give me a break. It'd be great for him to, you know, he's got a lot of money invested in those companies. That's wonderful for him. Somebody told me what he's getting. His energy bill is the cost of 13 homes or something like that. But that's wonderful. But we got to be realistic, and let's push on all of this stuff. But for somebody to say, well, the answer to our problem are windmills and solar is not right. Does that mean that we shouldn't do it? Absolutely, we should move forward with that. Why not? But we also have to understand. For example, Florida Light and Power is the most. They produce more wind power than any company in the United States. And I've asked them about it, and they said, if you eliminate the $2.01 subsidy that we get, we wouldn't be in there. So we are subsidizing solar. And for Ohio particularly, I'm seeing some real good job growth in that. And by the way, we're right on the edge of a nuclear renaissance in this country. And some of you may not have seen it. If you want, let Chris know. I did a paper that's published in Nuclear News about what it's going to take to launch the nuclear renaissance. I've got the NRC under my jurisdiction, and the NRC's got 9 applications right now for 15 new reactors in this country. Now, is that the answer around the corner? No, they won't come on stream until, I think, 2014 or 15. But the fact is that nuclear, and some people are opposed to nuclear, but nuclear gives us 70% of the clean, emission-free energy in this country comes from nuclear. It's about, I think, about 20% of our energy production. There's no NOx, there's no SOx, there's no mercury, and there are no greenhouse emissions. So any part of a climate change proposal has got to include nuclear energy if we're going to meet the goals that we'd like to meet in terms of reducing greenhouse gases.
Senator Voinovich, how do you convince some of your colleagues and some of your friends in the New England or eastern states about the importance of coal gasification and clean coal technology? All the coal we have in this state, you know, they're saying, oh, we're smoking them and we're polluting everybody. I mean, we're talking about jobs here in addition to the environment, aren't we?
Well, I think that what we ought to do is that we should make a strong commitment to reducing our emissions. And we just had a hearing on the it's called the Clean Air Interstate Regulations that was put in by the Environmental Protection Agency, and the court ruled the regs violate the law. And we have the man Korleski, who heads up the EPA in Ohio, coming in here and saying, "You guys have got to pass some legislation to ratify these rules because we're now in limbo. We don't know where we are. Businesses, EPAs around the country." So we've got to be as conscientious as we can to reduce our emissions. But at the same time, I got to tell you, they burn oil. That's how their heating costs are. And again, some of the folks up in that part of the country who are very strong environmentalists are saying something's got to be done in terms of these high cost of oil. I have a friend of mine that's in that business, and he said it's tragic. I mean, because people just can't afford it.
Where are we now? You mentioned the Baird Energy Project in southern and southeastern Columbia County. Where is that project, if you know, and would an Obama presidency, since he's been against coal technology, could that hurt that project?
Well, I think that any president, whether it's Obama or McCain, once they get in office, they're going to realize how vulnerable we are from a national security point of view. This is beyond this whole issue of whether we should lift the moratorium or whether we ought to do this or we ought to do that. There are some things that we're just going to have to do if we're going to not put ourselves in a position where somebody could close us down if they wanted to. Now, and we're worried about that. Look at what's happened to the dollar today. I was over in Rome. I remember when the dollar was more than the euro. I remember when people wanted Reagans. You can't give it. No one will take a dollar from you anymore. At least they wouldn't in Rome. They want a euro. $1 buys, I think, at that time, 64 or 63 cents of a euro. And so we've got some significant problems that need to be dealt with. This energy thing is I hope that I pointed out to you is interrelated to a lot of other things that, that we have. Yes, we're sending that money overseas. Yes, we're borrowing more money. This money should be staying in this country, not going to overseas.
Last question, please. Anyone else? Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.